We're just going to count down, Martita.
What?
Good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome. This is John Campbell welcoming our listeners all over the world. This is Miracle Hour, and I'm calling again from Guatemala, where the weather is beautiful today, and we're at the moment staying at a beautiful farm out in a lovely place called Reta. I can't tell you. I can't even pronounce it, but I'll put somebody on very shortly who will. And it was a wonderful experience because when I knew I was coming out to Guatemala, I just went on the website, the Course in Miracles website, and I looked for groups, Course in Miracles groups in the area, and I was amazed to find about four of them. And my guest today is a wonderful woman who answered the call we put out. We phoned up, and Martita is her name, Martita Ochoa, and her husband Paco, and they run a Course in Miracle groups in downtown Guatemala. And the wonderful thing about this study is that wherever you go in the world, you know, you're made to feel like family. It's just incredible. And Penny and I, who's here with me, went to one of their groups downtown Guatemala, and we had an amazing welcome. Beautiful people, and even though the evening was conducted in Spanish, we seemed to connect and understood each other. And we've made some wonderful friends, and it's with great pleasure that I welcome you onto the show, Martita, and thank you for giving up your time down there in Guatemala downtown, and thank you for the use of your wonderful home. It's been just amazing. So, yeah, thank you for coming on the show. Can you hear us okay? That's the first thing.
Yes, hi, John. How are you? I'm so glad to be with you, sharing with you these minutes. It's wonderful that I have the chance to talk through this way, and so many people can hear you both.
Well, that's wonderful, Martina, and I'm so relieved because you are loud and clear, and that's wonderful to have that clarity. And
I'm glad.
What I'd like to do first of all is if you could share with our listeners a little bit about, you know how you grew up, with what kind of spiritual encouragement or religious encouragement or whatever, and then lead us in a little bit into how you found this amazing work, which we all love so much, and about how it's affected your life.
Oh, sure. It would be a pleasure to share with you and with the audience the way how got to this path and how happy we are as a family having this experience, wonderful experience, meeting people like you and meeting people from all over the world that share with you this thinking. Because once you are in this path, you know there is only one mind. And when there is only one mind, we cannot have differences.
Yeah.
So as many people, I am a lady of 54 years. I would like to see being like 30, but I'm 54. And,
but that's only a thought. That's only a thought as well, Martita.
Well, you know, I have a family. I have a husband and three beautiful girls. And in the beginnings of our marriage, 35 years ago, I had a kind of a happy marriage, but not as happy as I would like to have. So I'm kind of the person that I'm so passionate about everything in my life. And I was really happy with the life I had. I felt that something was missing. And you know, as the spirit is so strong that keeps you telling you, look for something, look for something. I'm fortunate that I like to read, and I love to do it. So when Diane arrived to my life, when Diane is a wonderful writer, and starting me, helping me to find some answers to all the questions, so many questions I had, and my life is starting to change, eventually it's starting to change, but still, I wanted some more answers.
Something
I remember. What?
Something more.
Yes, yes. I knew there was something else. So in Wayne Dyer, in the books that Wayne Dyer writes, he often mentions Course of Miracles. In all the books he writes, he's a Course of Miracles teacher anyway. So of course the word Course of Miracles starting to keep timing in my mind. So I look for this wonderful book, arrived to my life, and we starting with my family, my whole family, studying the book. And you know, in a year, my life and my family's life turned all over. But really, we had a turn in our life. And that was the beginning of a beautiful, simple, abundant, and happy way of living.
Yeah. And tell us, what happened first of all, because you didn't actually come to the work first, did you? I think if I remember rightly, it was one of your daughters that found it first. Is that right?
Yes, yes. You know, we live in Guatemala with my husband and my little daughter, the youngest one. But I have two daughters lives in the United States. And one of them lives in Miami. So in Miami, there is a teacher. I don't know if I can tell the name.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Well, we have a teacher, a mentor. His name is an Argentinian. His name is Julio Bevione. And he is starting in Spanish, Course of Miracles. He's the first teacher that is doing it in Spanish, because in English, there is a lot of teachers that are doing it fortunately for English people language. But in Spanish, there is not much, there aren't much teachers. So he is starting in Miami this Course of Miracles, and my daughter started joining the group. So it was such a synchrony, you know, because once he started, we were right in the time, we're ready to start the course too. So we traveled to Miami to do a boot camp. That's the name Julio gives to her workshop. Yes, and it was really a boot camp, because you know, when you have to take away ego, you need the military boots. You need everything strong to let it go. So it was beautiful. It was amazing, because once we had that boot camp in Miami, I thought to myself, I have the chance to travel Guatemala, Miami. So many people doesn't have the chance to do it in Guatemala. So we decided to take Julio Bevione to Guatemala. And we have been doing it for 3 years. He has been coming to do workshops and seminars. And fortunately, a group started here in the city. We don't live in the city. We live 200 away from the city, in Retaluleu. That's the name you couldn't say.
I got it. Retaluleu.
Retaluleu is a city 250 kilometers away from the city. But we do the traveling every 15 days because, you know, it's such a delight to learn, because we're not a teacher. We are students of Course of Miracles. Even though we have the head of the group, we are not teachers. We are all students of light. And we already have about 15 or 18 students that are growing in light with us. And we are really, really happy.
Yeah. And when you first got the book, Matita, like so many people, they have the book because Wayne Dyer, like you said, you learned of it through Wayne Dyer, and then your daughter Gabriella got it. Did you have the book sitting on the bookshelf doing nothing for a long time before you went to it, or did you go straight into the work?
No, I was ready, I guess. I guess I was ready, and I was thirsty, you know, of knowing about the project. So I went through, I was looking for the book, and in the beginning, you know, we had an issue, my husband and I, that we were, we live in a scarcity. We thought we were not abundant. So when the first time I saw the book, there was about $40. I said, too expensive for me. I can't buy it. But, because I thought it wasn't for me because I couldn't pay it. But my desire was so strong that my mother gave it as a gift for me. She said, I'm going to buy. Yeah, she did. You know, Jesus is so beautiful that he's over. She thinks she can't buy it, but I'm going to give it to her anyway.
Yeah.
So my mother she bought it for her, but I told her, Mommy, I want that book. I hardly want that book. So she said, well, take it. I'm going to buy another one. This is for you. So as I wrote in the beginning of the book, I wrote when I finished it the first time, I said, this is the best gift that something ever has gave it to me. And it is. It really is.
You mean this is what you felt when you first read it? You felt that?
Yes. No, when I finished it the first time, because I had finished it three times.
Yeah.
You know, so my husband is not the kind of man that likes to read, but he's the kind of man that wants to learn. So we decide to read it every single night together. I read it and he listening, and sometimes he falls asleep anyway.
He's a sweetheart. He's a sweetheart.
Yes, he is. So we started to read the book, and as I told you the first time we read it was like we were reading in Chinese. It was really hard to understand. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to hear you say. I mean, I was thinking of our listeners who would, you know, maybe get the book and read it, but I was glad to hear you had a similar experience like nearly everyone has, that when you first read it, it's like reading Japanese or Chinese, like you said.
Yes, it is. It is so hard to read it at the beginning. And I understand that, as Jesus says, they need a serious student that keep doing it and keep doing it. And it's necessary to have some mentor to help you. I think
Yes. If
you do it by yourself, you can do it. Eventually, you can understand it. But it's easier and it's faster if you find somebody to help you to understand the things you don't.
Yeah. No, I think that's absolutely true. And then what year was this when you first read the book and did these exercises all the way through? What year are we talking about, Martita?
What did I do?
No, what year was it when you first completed the book the first time?
We started in 2004, and we finished it. The exercises that is supposed that takes you a year, we did it in a year and a half.
Yes. Okay. Six months after
we started the book, our life started to change. It was amazing how fast everything started to change, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and what did you notice? What were the first changes that you noticed? Can you take us back and share that with the listeners?
Sure. It will be so nice to remember because, you know, as I told you in the beginning, the trouble, the issue we had as a family or as a couple was that we didn't think we were abundant. So we struggled many, many years with money. And because
right.
we really believed that we were in abundance never showed up.
Uh-huh.
So in the beginning, we start asking God or asking Jesus for abundance. And it didn't work. It didn't work. Nothing happened, you know, because we kept asking money. And nothing happened.
Wow.
I said, what I'm doing wrong? I'm feeling more peaceful. It is true that I'm feeling more peaceful, but money doesn't show up. So 6 months after we start doing it, I start thinking some other way around. Say, no, that this is wrong. This is not the way I have to ask. I have to ask for peace. I have to ask to be happy. I have to ask something else. Never, no money. So I start doing that. I start asking peace to feel good, to feel happy. And you know, when I started that, and when I remember one day I said, it was so hard for me to say, I need nothing. You know, John, it was so hard for me to say that word because I thought the day I said it, maybe God, he won't listen to me. But yeah, because I said, if I say that, he will say, okay, you don't need nothing. Okay, I won't give you nothing.
I don't give you anything.
Yeah, you know. But I decided to be intelligent, to be fuerte, how do you say, strong. And I said, I'm going to do it. It's the way I have to do it. So I started to say every single day, I need nothing. The only thing I need is to change my mind, to change my beliefs, to change my thoughts. The only thing I need is to feel peaceful. That's the only thing I have to do. So I have to do nothing. So when we start doing that kind of thinking, my husband and I, everything changed, John. You know, even my husband won the lottery. I can tell you that. Even that.
He won the lottery.
Yes, he did.
That's amazing.
Yes, he started to have some good business. I received money from inheritance from my parents. So everything changed. We stopped asking money, and we start asking for peace, and money show up.
Oh, that's a wonderful message. You know, it's a wonderful message because as most people who have developed along the spiritual path eventually come to realize that there's nothing either good or bad about money. It's just neutral, you know. But it's really great to hear somebody with a practical experience of what happened when they took their focus away from the money. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It really was for us. And since that day on, we are building our trust, building the things we think now are right, trying to take away our old beliefs, because, you know, the old beliefs you have will keep you out of the way.
Yeah. Well, I think my experience is, and I think it's important to share, Martita, that it's not like... Very often people say, and Julio Bevioni said on the night when he came to the group there in Guatemala, that the first year of doing the course was probably the worst year of his life.
Yes. You know, that thing happens. Things get worse sometimes.
Yeah, because it's the breakdown of the belief system, which is so powerful in the world, isn't it? I mean... The thing that really shook me was how practically everything in the course is diametrically opposite to what we are normally conditioned to believe in the world.
Yes, you know, I think the world we see for us is the right world we used to see, but the world, the Course of Miracles, is teaching us to see is upside down the world we are seeing right now.
Exactly.
So it's hard to do it because we have so many beliefs, so many, and you know, we are born in a Catholic religion.
And you were brought Catholic up in a Catholic religion, yeah?
Catholic religion is good. I'm a Catholic. And I'm not saying nothing bad about Catholic Church, but we have so many dogmas, so many things, so many guilt that that doesn't help.
No. Well, the whole course is actually about undoing the guilt and undoing the beliefs that we've committed sins and everything else, isn't it?
That's right. And you know, that's the part, I think, for me, maybe was the part that was hard for me, not to feel guilty for the things I'm supposed not doing it right. You know, feeling happy, even with your mistakes, is a hard thing to do.
I understand that one. And tell me, Martita, what happened when, because you really, you know, I mean, I can identify with you so much because I'm a little bit, very similar to you. You know, when I get something, I'm really thirsty for knowledge, and you've seen me, you know me now, and I like to go for it, I give it 100%. And from what I remember, this wasn't quite Paco, your husband, your lovely husband, he wasn't quite of the same mind. So how was it when you were, like, thirsty and he wasn't so interested? How did that work out?
You know, in the beginning, as a woman, the women are more sensitive, are more spiritual, I guess. And men are different. You know, it's men and woman nature. So in the beginning, I started because I'm so passionate about the things I do. And when I start feeling good, I wanted him to feel the way I was feeling. And the worst thing is that I thought, if he changes, everything is going to be better for me. The thing is, imagine that. So I started as a good woman, as a good Latin woman, starting pushing him. I say, you have to read this. It's beautiful. You're going to be good. You're going to be better. And the more I push, the more he could get away from it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a mistake that we as a woman do that. I think we do.
Not only you as a woman, I make the same mistakes, Martita.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well,
maybe.
You know, maybe it's the problem of Course of Miracles students when you are a beginner.
Well, anyway, I think also, I don't know if you can relate to this, but also it's coming from a desire for people who you care about and love to have the same free feeling and free feeling of peace that you're having. That's where it comes from, but it doesn't work so well.
Yes, maybe that is because you feel so good. You feel that everything is working out for you, that you want everybody to feel the same way you feel.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing that I've learned after is that everyone has her its own time, and everybody has in her own space. You don't have to push anyone to go to these things.
No.
And the more you push, the more they're going to get away from you.
Yeah. I think what you said is correct. It's about timing, isn't it? Everyone, and some people are not supposed to find it in this lifetime. And that's okay too, because one of the things I really admire about the course is that it doesn't make a point of saying this is the way, the only way. It doesn't say that at all. It allows people to be free, to do what they want.
Yes, anyway, everybody is going to reach home, you know, everybody.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
Everybody will do it by horse or with a Ferrari or with a horse, I don't know. I'd rather have it with a Ferrari, you know?
You'd rather have a Maserati.
Yeah, sure, Maserati, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but anyway, my husband got in the past so fortunate for me and for him, for he too. And he's a sweet man, and he decided to follow me. Because, you know, I'm kind of a sweet girl, but I'm strong too. So I told him, if you don't follow me, you won't eat.
Well, that's a good way. That's a good way, huh? The way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
Yeah, you know, we have a say in Spanish. You never get mad with the cooker.
That's beautiful.
You know, as a couple, it's easy to do it as a couple. If you take this path by yourself, it's fine. It's fine. It's not bad. But if you do it with your couple, it's so easy to do it. You're going to have more conflicts, maybe, or you're going to have more things to go through. But it's better to do it. You do it faster.
Yeah, absolutely. And what happened with, I mean, one of the things that was so beautiful to witness was when we saw your family together there and everyone doing the course. So nobody, you know, projecting. Well, of course they still project, but at least they quickly understand that it's nothing to do with anybody else. It's always themselves. And to see you all interacting was just a joy, you know. And I tell you what I'd like to do, if you could just share about Gabriella, because she gave permission there, and talk about that experience she was having when she became abundant and she had the new BMW and she used to come and visit you and Paco.
Yes, you know, my daughter Gabriella that lives in Miami, she's with us too. In fact, she was the one that started with Julio. And she was the one that started with us. She was our advisor. And you know, they had a struggle too with, because she had the same pattern we had. She didn't feel abundant. She had the same pattern. She followed us as a parent. You know, that happens. Kids, follow the same patterns that you as a father have.
Yeah.
So she had the same pattern as we did. She didn't feel abundant. But happened the same thing that happened with us even when she started taking the course and finding out that isn't true, that it's a belief you have. She started having such abundance in her life. And you know something, if I have the time to do it, I would like to share our experience she's having right now and the way she's taking out. You know, she and her husband are trying for 8 years to have a baby. Finally, they decided to do by the fertilization way, I don't know how to say in English.
IVF?
In vitro. Yes. So they came to Guatemala, So they came to Guatemala and they were so happy about the thing to be parents. But you know, my daughter had focused so much that her life wouldn't be realized if she wouldn't had a child. So she was too much focused in that part that being, for her, being happy was to have a child. So
right.
She came with that decision here to Guatemala a month ago, and the experience didn't work. I mean, they did everything. They take the medicine. They did the fertilization. They did the things they had to do, and it didn't work. You know, she and her husband took this experience so well, as the Course of Miracles has taught us, that right now she realized that the experience she had in Guatemala and not coming back pregnant was the best way to realize that if she has children, she will be happy. And if she doesn't have children, even though she will be happy. That was the teaching she got from this experience she had a month ago. And that was beautiful, you know, really beautiful.
Yeah.
That from a thing that maybe for anybody could take them down, for them, they took them up, you know?
Yeah. That's a wonderful, wonderful experience to share. And it's so true, isn't it? The moment we believe that we need something, you know, to be happy, which is outside of us, that's the sure sign that the ego is in control.
Yes.
But it's so different. Again, you know, I mean, there's a wonderful little book that Kenneth Wapnick has written called Parents and Children, Our Greatest Classroom. And I think this is very true, is that to be able to understand that they are the ones who are going to be the biggest pulls on our ego to try to keep us in feeling that we're responsible and all those kind of feelings, you know?
Yes.
And what was the story about when she used to come and visit you, when she found her abundance and she had the BMW and she used to come and visit you with a brand new car?
Oh, I mean when I remember that, you know, because after she left the pattern that she wasn't abundant, and she and her husband started to be abundant because they had a good job, and they had financially talking, they were good. Finally, they were good. But she felt guilty about it because when she was a kid, we never had good cars because, as I told you, we didn't feel that we were abundant. So we always had cars in bad shape. So, you know, she got the chance to buy a Jaguar and a BMW. And she feeling really quite feel good when we were there because she felt that she wasn't, she had fidelity with her parents. And every time she arrived to Miami to visit her, the Jaguar started falling down. The Jaguar had some trouble.
Even though it was brand new.
Yeah. Maybe it was the tires, maybe it was the air conditioner. Something wasn't working. So she realized that the problem was the Jaguar was telling her, you're feeling guilty. So she found it out.
Yeah, and isn't that amazing?
Yes, it is. You know, everything you have in your mind, you're going to see it outside.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the part which, you know, when people really get it, it's a big help to understand that nothing outside of us happens by accident. It's all created by our own feelings of guilt or shame.
That is true, you know, that is true. You know, I don't know if we have the time, but I have an experience to tell you about something, about guilt that happened to me.
Yes, please, you know, we've got plenty of time.
Okay. You know, when my father passed away 2 years ago, I already was in the course. And when he passed away, I knew that my father, when he was lying in the box when we were going to bury him, I knew that the body I was seeing, it wasn't him. I knew it, and I was trying to see him more than a body. So it was for me so easy to bury him and to let him go. And I cried him just a little, I could say. I didn't feel that sorry, you know. But it was fine for me by that moment. But maybe some weeks later, some months after that happened, probably I started feeling guilty. I didn't realize it really. And after 2 or 3 months, he passed away. My mother gave us to her children some money that my father had left us. So when I received that money, you know, I had an accident. I fell from a stair, and I was really injured one side of my body. So I said, what could have happened? Why did have that accident? That wasn't an accident. That was something I created, I said, because I know I'm so alert. for everything that happened to me in the outside. So
yeah.
I started to think and to see what it is happening to me, to inquire, as one of my books say, you have to be, to inquire yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I start to see inside in meditation, and the answer came right away. You know, I felt guilty because I didn't cry my father the way that I was taught to do it. I felt guilty because I didn't feel sorry because my father, I saw him as a body. So, because I'm a very healthy woman, it didn't happen to me with that. I didn't have a disease but I decided to have an accident, to injure myself, to do something to myself, to punish me for not crying, to not be sad about my father. I realized that, you know, guilt is awful.
Yeah, guilt is and the thing is, what it took me time to understand is that it's not only the guilt for the things we think we've done wrong in this lifetime, it can be lifetimes and lifetimes of guilt.
Yes, that's true.
And I think the encouraging part that I've come to learn, Martita, is that whereas before I always used to think, yes, I have to go back and find out the root cause, why this all came, where it came from, and you know, there can be some advantage in that. But with this beautiful course, and the practice of the new type of forgiveness, is that as long as you just keep forgiving everything that comes up and disturbs, or which you think is disturbing your peace, actually it's yourself that's disturbing it, but if you forgive these things you believe are causing you disturbance, then eventually we don't even have to worry because the Holy Spirit will do the work. That's the beautiful part, isn't it?
Yes. As long as you are willing to do it, that's fine. You don't have to do you have to do nothing. That's the best part of these things.
Yeah.
You know, it's so good to have to learn this about this course. Really, it is beautiful.
It is. And did you find another interesting thing, which I know you are a great passionate follower as well of the work of Gary Renard with the disappearance? How did you come about the disappearance? Was that again through Wayne Dyer's email, or how did that happen?
You know, John, I. Even though I already had read Course in Miracles 3 times, as I told you, because I'm a fan of reading everything, Disappearance of the Universe came to me 4 years ago, but it wasn't for me by that time, I guess, because I finally found it out 2 months ago. No, 3 months ago.
Oh.
Well, I started reading the book. It is amazing, John, how I took this book. You know, many, many answers came to me so easily, and I can tell you that in 3 months, I have walked too many miles from that, more than in 3 years maybe, with this,
yeah,
this reading of this book. I really loved it. Really, I can tell everybody to do it. Even if they haven't read the Course in Miracles, I can recommend people to read this book because it's much easier to understand after reading the book Course in Miracles.
Yeah, that's I think that's what people are finding as well. You know, it's so much easier to understand. And
yes.
And it took me to being a serious student of the course, whereas before I was just playing around with it, you know, looking at it every now and again. But once I read Gary's book, that was it. I knew I had to go back, and I knew I had to study this book seriously. And yeah, it's been amazing ever since. And I think that's the same way as it's happened with a lot of people. It's even taken a lot of people who'd never even heard of the Course in Miracles to the course.
Yes, he gave us a big chance to do it easier and faster, I guess, because
yeah,
it's so easy to understand after you read this book. So easy to do it. It's sweet and easy, soft and easy, really it is.
Yeah. And what is happening now with your, you've got this group started. How did you start the group? Because, I mean, I was so thrilled when coming to Guatemala, and you know how I've fallen in love with your country, you know that, we love it here, you know. But it was so amazing to find the groups there. How did that start with your group?
You know, when, as I told you, Julio Bevione came to Guatemala 3 years ago, and he had keep going from that time on. So from the seminars, some people start to joining us in the course because, you know, you need, if you are in Course of Miracles or any course you want to be in, you need to have someone that keep telling you what to do or remind you what you are.
Yes.
So it's necessary to have like a support group. It's necessary in everything you want to grow. So after the seminar, some people came with us. We invite these persons to come with us and study with us Course of Miracles. So finally this last year we started a group, and it was beautiful how these people is starting to grow with us because, you know, we are not teachers, we are students, and everyone gives some good ideas, some good points. We disenable thoughts, disarm thoughts, and we have grown a lot together. Are you not the only way to grow in these things, as I'm telling you, is to have people around you that think this the way you think. Or unless, not maybe the way you think, but people that are spiritual in the way you are.
Yeah, and I think that, I think it's, there's a lot of, you know, people are starting to realize now that it's only when we are in relationship to all different people that we have all the possibilities to reflect our unconscious feelings, our unconscious guilt up to us, because that's what will show up in our face. And I think the interesting thing that Gabriella was explaining the other night, which is true as well, is that as we grow and release our guilt, we are changing, and that the sometimes the people who we used to be mixing around with, they'll drop away if they are not releasing their own guilt, because they're not really there anyway. They're only a part of our own mind. As we change our mind, either they change or they just drop away. Has that been your experience as well?
Yes. When you're starting with this learning, you start arousing of people that are similar to you. You're projecting the kind of thought you're thinking. So the kind of people is around you must be naturally the kind of thinking you have. So you start projecting good people. You know, I think that if you are good people, have good thinking, you're going to be having around people the same way you are. And it's, as I said in the beginning of the program, you know, you start to feel not a separateness in these people. You feel like, as we met in here in Guatemala, I felt you as part of my family. I'm sure you feel a part of my own family too. There is no separation anymore.
No, that is very, very true, And the interesting thing was, and I think Gary puts this across so well in his book and his teaching, is, you know, as long as we do the forgiveness work and we understand, I think this is one of the biggest things, is to understand that whatever we're thinking about another person or another situation or a government or a institution or whatever it is, whatever we're thinking about those things, we're actually thinking about ourselves.
Yes.
That was a very big if you like, teaching post for me, to remind me, you know, because I was very quick to judge and condemn and all those kind of things. And then when Gary explained that the moment we do that, we're sending a message to our unconscious mind that we are guilty. And, of course, then we will feel bad.
Yes. You know, that is take responsibility. And take responsibility is the hardest thing you ever can do. It seems so easy, but it's not. Because takes responsibility means that everything that is happening around you is you.
Yeah.
So
it's not easy to get it. Yeah, it's not easy. And you know, but it's so true though, Martita, because even today I'd just like to share with you, as you know, that we've had some storms here and everything, you know. But when I woke up this morning, I knew I didn't feel right. You know, I didn't feel so good, you know, and I didn't know what it was, and I did my exercises, and I did all those kind of things. But I knew it wasn't right. But I knew it was nothing to do with anything except what was already in me.
Uh-huh.
But I did my forgiveness, I did my prayers, I did everything, but I was noticing that lots of things then on the outside world were going wrong. And I went to the internet cafe, as I was explaining, because the internet in your house is not connecting for some reason. But I went even to the internet cafe, and I could not get on the internet. I was putting my correct entry words, I was putting everything, and it kept coming back saying, oh, there's a problem with the login and all. And in the past, I would have been getting mad with the internet cafe or with the computer or whatever. But I had to say, this is because of how I'm feeling. So my job is just to forgive it, forgive myself, forgive the cafe, forgive the computer, because they're all imaginary, and see what happens.
Yes, yes, it has to be with you. Even internet, it has to be with you. Maybe the way you were thinking in that moment interfere with internet.
Well, that's right, and I think it's true. And also, you know, as you know, I'm writing, rewriting, if you like, or editing my book, you know. And yesterday I did a lot of words. I did 5,000 words, and it was all my past, you know, and not very pleasant parts of my past, you know, because, as you know, my book is quite honest. And I think probably what's happening is it's re-triggering still some more forgiveness I have to do of myself, you know, and other things that happened. And
yes, I'm pretty sure that what has happened, because, you know, when you focus in your past, you're doing a work, that's true. But even though you trying the past to your present, so that's a good thing to remember, that when you remember your past, everything is going through again. And
exactly.
Because it's not a good thing to think, it doesn't feel good. So you are trying your past to your present. So it's the same thing as that you are starting to feel again the same emotions, the same feelings. And that's important to remember, that we try to live in the past, the things that are to the past, or the things that correspond to the past.
Exactly. So I think that was really an important thing to realize, that that's what I was doing. And I can do some mental exercises to forgive and remember it wasn't real and all the, you know, the other course exercises that we have. But it was interesting how then this manifested in whatever happened today, like internet not working, and then I nearly fell off the chair when I sat down at your table outside for breakfast.
Oh, really?
The chair was uneven. It was so funny.
But because
we're doing the work, you know, we remember that this is what this is about.
Yes. I wonder if my dog did it with you.
You mean the dog?
I you know, when everything is wrong in your day, we say in Spanish that the only thing is left that your dog do pee-pee in you.
Yeah, you're talking about lucky there, yeah. Well, we've seen what lucky enjoys doing anyway.
Yes, Yes.
Now, Martita, have you got your copy of the course with you by any chance?
No. I'm not home, so I didn't take it.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to share with you, you know, I'm on my second reading of the course now, and the other amazing thing is reading it a second time, it seems much more clear, and the understanding is much easier that I have, you know. And,
yes, that's true.
I just wanted to share where I, this morning, I was reading page 142, and this, to me, and it must have meant something to me the first time around, because I noticed that I underlined all the lines in this the first time I read it, so it must have meant something. But reading it again, it's been such an amazing lesson. And I'd like to share it with the listeners and with you, and it's in the chapter, The Journey Back, chapter 8, and the Holy Encounter. It talks about the Holy Encounter and how every single encounter we have is the Holy Encounter. And this is what it says in verse 4. When you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for in him you will find yourself or lose yourself. Whenever two sons of God meet, they are given another chance at salvation. Do not leave anyone without giving salvation to him and receiving it yourself. For I am always there with you in remembrance of you. And isn't that beautiful? Isn't that so clear?
Oh, that's something beautiful, John. Really is beautiful. And you know that the thing that all of us have to work on it. To see everybody, to see us. You know, I just read a book that, I'm reading a book that is beautiful, that is The Undoing of the Ego. It's a beautiful book, I'm reading it. And says something that when you meet someone, you only are meeting yourself.
Yes.
And for me, it was such a good thing to remember that when I see anybody, I'm try to remember I'm seeing myself. It's a part that we have to work on it because we're not used to do it. So we have
exactly.
to keep working it and working it and working all over and over.
Yeah, no, it is. And that's why I think Jesus says in the Course that this is not just encouraged to do it again and again, it's imperative because our minds have been so conditioned in the exact opposite to the way of the Course is thinking that it takes time and that we have
yes,
to be patient
it takes time.
With ourselves.
And something that is interesting to remember is that people think that they don't have to repeat and repeat and repeat. And I think it's a must to repeat everything, because we have to undo the ego, you know, and
yeah.
to the, and so you're going to take repetition and repetition and repetition all over and over again. So it's a must to do it and do it and redo it.
Exactly. And it does get more clear as well each time you read it, and I'm sure you found that you're on the third reading now. So I'm
yes.
sure that it becomes more like a readable book, whereas before, as you said, it was like a Chinese manuscript.
Uh-huh. It is, John. It is really so easy. Then after you learn it the first time, you read it the first time, it's so easy to understand it. Even I do it in Spanish all every day, but
yeah.
I have had the chance to read in English. And even in English, it's for me right now understandable. So
yeah.
I think you have to do it. It's a lifetime book, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And what is your plan now, Martita? You and Marco, you're bringing Julio Bevioni back to Guatemala in September. Is that correct?
Yes, you know, as everything is in synchrony, I met a very nice woman that has some radio station, owns radio stations in here in Guatemala. So, you know, I was the perfect instrument for Jesus to take him to Guatemala, because in the beginning I started with groups of 20 or 25, sorry, persons. But it was enough, because right now in July he had a chance to be with 2,000 persons. And in September we expect him in a big place in Guatemala. And we expect 7,000 people that can share with Julio these talks about the forgiveness, you know, in Spanish. Forgiveness in Spanish, not the old-fashioned way. The quantum forgiveness, as Gary Renard says.
Yes, yeah. And and I think that you also had 1,000 people locked out when he came last month, didn't you?
Pardon? I didn't understand.
You had 1,000 people could not even get in. There was 1,000 people
outside. Yes, you know, was in the National Theater, that the National Theater is a jewel in Guatemala, so only 2,000 people could be in that place. And 1,000 people were left. So that was the reason why in September we expect to have him in a bigger place. So in that place, maybe we could have 7,000 persons, I don't know. And we expect to have all the place full.
That's wonderful. Well, Martita, it's amazing because it seems like it's just been 5 minutes having a cup of tea and we're already up to the end of our time. So
oh,
I wanted
my God.
To thank you so much for giving your time. I want to thank you and Paco for the hospitality you've shown to me and Penny and everyone else. I love the sign on your door, which is so beautiful. and I want to thank you for all you're doing and for your love and friendship and for coming on the program today to share such personal things. Thank you so much.
Okay, John, you are welcome. You know, you and Penny and all the people are our family. When we're starting this teaching, we know that all our family, we are not separated anymore. So, such a good thing to know about it. So, you're my family, and you're part of myself.
Thank you, Martita, and my love to all of you, and I'll speak to you very soon.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
God bless you, too.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.